Welcome to Whitechapel Church Online. You're currently listening to preaching from our Sunday services. We believe that when the preaching happens, that collectively we're hearing the Word of God, that God's Word has the power to change who we are. We also believe that God can meet you right where you're at, and that He has a Word specifically for you. We hope that you enjoy today's sermon, and we would love to have you at an in-person service. Head over to whitechapelchurch.com to get more info. Enjoy the sermon and be blessed.
We are going to continue the series that we've been in for a few weeks now, and looking at what the work that Jesus actually did for each and every one of us. And we're going to see what that looks like this morning in John chapter 1 as we continue. Hold on one second. I forgot to click on something. There we go. Sorry about that. So we're going to continue working through the direction that God has for us in this one word, out. So on Easter Sunday, we actually took a look at Jesus coming out of the grave and the power that he then gave to each one of us in coming out of the grave and what that actually means for our faith and our relationship with him. Last week, we took a look at Christ coming out of the water, where Jesus was actually baptized by John the Baptist. He went into the water and then he was raised. And the goal for us is to follow in his example as we would be buried with him and raised to walk in newness of life. And so with that, as we come to today, at the end of our service this morning, we'll celebrate with six others that will be baptized, professing their faith in Christ. And we will celebrate that they too have been buried with Christ so that their sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus and they're raised to walk in newness of life that comes in relationship through salvation in Christ and then the infilling of this Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we're going to look at the next out that I believe will be a powerful reminder for us. It's something that we all know, but I think that it's something that's important that we go back and we revisit. Before we get to John 1, I want you to stay there. I want to share a passage of Scripture that is kind of our foundation for where we are going, and let's see if this will work. Let me close this and then reopen it. Sometimes technology is great, and sometimes technology does its own thing. Here we go. So we'll look at this passage of Scripture that's our foundation of building on these outs that we're looking at. Jesus coming out of the grave, Jesus coming out of the water. Today we're going to look at Jesus coming out of heaven, him stepping out of heaven. Colossians 1, verse 17, 18, and 19 is our foundation. And it says that he, this is Jesus, Paul writing this, he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And I want to stop right here, and I want to point this out. I want you to see it, and then I want you to grasp what we'll talk about. It says, and in him, that's Jesus, all things hold together. Now, I don't want to ask you to raise your hand this morning, because we would all be raising our hands on this. But have you ever lived life and it seems like things aren't being held together in your life? It seems like there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of stuff out of control. You're confronted with crisis or issue or things that just weigh heavy on you. You don't know sometimes what that next step is. You don't know the right direction, but inside of your heart of hearts, you want to do the right thing. The reminder for us and the significance of these things that we're studying in these outs that we experience in our relationship with God is that in Jesus Christ, Paul tells us, all things hold together. And so when we look at a world that seems like it is spinning out of control, or when we are living life and it just seems like things are out of control, listen, if you are in Christ Jesus, it is in him all things hold together. And so naturally, things outside of Christ are going to seem like there is no control. It's going to seem like there is no order, because outside of Christ, there can only be chaos. And so when chaos confronts us, we have to view that through the lens of the Scripture, through the lens of God's Word, and be able to discern, is this God or is it not God? Because Paul says, it is in Him all things hold together. He goes on and says, and He, that's Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. That is us. Everybody that is saved and has Christ as their Lord and Savior is a part of the church. And Paul says that He is the head of the body, the church. That is not Whitechapel Church. It is not any other building or any other church that you actually see. Because you, as a believer that has Christ as your Savior, you are the church. You are His body. And Paul says He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. And verse 19 says this, for God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him. Now, this is a very powerful statement, and this is our launching off point for this morning, verse 19. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him. Again, that Him is Jesus. All of God was in all of Jesus. And when we get to John chapter 1, what we see is John actually takes a different approach to writing his gospel than the previous three, the other three gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four accounts are what we call the Gospels, the beginning of the New Testament. And they deal with the launch of Jesus as well. That gives some backstory in some of them. But it deals with primarily Jesus Christ, His creation, some of His genealogy, His time on earth, and then Him handing off the birth of the church to the disciples as He said, go and wait for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. But John takes a different approach than the previous three. You think of Matthew. Matthew went back and he started with all of the genealogy. He emphasized that it was Nazareth, this guy that came out of Nazareth, was the one who was fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies that God was actually going to come and spend time in the flesh. When we get to Luke, Luke is emphasizing the humanity of Jesus. He reminds us that he fully investigated all of these things, and he gives a little more details on the count, and he drives into the birth of Jesus Christ. Mark is looking at Jesus ministering to all of the people. He's looking at Christ as a suffering servant. But John doesn't go back to where these guys started. Instead, what John does is he goes way, 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 way back to the beginning of time as we actually know it. What John is actually saying to us as we look at the beginning of John's account of the life of Christ is John is saying Jesus stepped out of heaven and was God wrapped in the flesh who came to die and be the final sin payment for our sins so that there would need to be no more payments for sin for those who called on His name and believed in Him as their Lord and Savior. John was saying that Jesus was God and God was Jesus. But here in Christ is this amazing thing that Jesus Christ, being born of a virgin, was 100% flesh, but at the same time, John says, He was 100% God. John, absolutely nothing like us. We are only flesh. We have a body, but we also have a spirit. Jesus, though, had a body, and that body was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And then with that, Jesus was 100% God as well. John says Jesus stepped out of heaven, and Paul reminds us that it was for all of us. God was pleased, Paul says, to have all of Himself placed inside of Jesus. And so this is the launch of John's gospel. If you'll follow along, we'll start reading at verse number 1. And you'll see where John actually goes with this. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Now, sometimes that can be a passage that we might memorize, or you may have heard several times, and you think, okay, I don't understand all of that, but it's got all of these withs and all of these other things in that, and so I get it. We're just going to move on, and we're just going to get to verse 3 and just keep going through the rest of John. But it's important for us to slow down and grasp what the Holy Spirit is actually speaking to us through John in this account of the life of Jesus. John has gone back to the very beginning. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." And if you'll note that word, "Word," in the scripture here is a capital W, because that word, "Word," is actually speaking about Jesus Christ. We'll see the clues in the rest of what we read, but we understand from this specific word that is used here, it is referring to Jesus Christ. And so what we see here is Jesus did not come into existence 2,000 or so years ago when he was actually born of Mary, but John goes all the way back to the beginning. Well, where do we see these other words, "in the beginning"? Well, it's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of the Bible. And what John is saying is, in the beginning that he's talking about is also the "in the beginning" that we have at the beginning of our scriptures, saying that Jesus was there as a part of it. Now, you can go back and read the first few chapters of the book of Genesis, and then you can start to grasp, oh yes, what we have here in the scripture is God is there, Christ is there, the Word is there, and the Holy Spirit is there. They are together in the beginning because this is who God was. And then he began to reveal himself throughout time. And so John is saying, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus Christ. We often think that the Word is what we have as a Bible. It's Genesis to Revelation. And while this is what we would say is the Word of God as revealed to mankind through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God used man to write this and record it for us, what we grasp, though, from what John is saying is Jesus is that Word that does the work inside of all of us. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, John says in verse 1. Do you grasp that John is saying Jesus was God? Jesus was God, and he was there in the beginning. So let's keep reading in verse 3. "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." So again, go back and read the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. And then read it through the lens of what John has revealed to us. And the Holy Spirit will give you one of those aha moments. And you will say, oh yes, now I see what the Bible is actually saying to me. Jesus was there because Jesus was God. And nothing that was made without Jesus Christ. Now let's come back to this passage. I'll put it on the screen again for you, that Paul has revealed to us in Colossians 1, 17, 18, and 19. Let's look at this again. He, that's Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. John says, there was nothing that was made without him. And so it absolutely makes sense that if we want things to operate correct in our life, then we have to go to the Creator so that the Creator can give us the proper operation of everything in our life. So what does that look like practically for all of us? In him, all things hold together. In him, all things were created. In Jesus Christ, all things hold together. In him, all things were created. Well, if you want to know how relationships work, You've got to start with the foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Because nothing was made without Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came and lived in the flesh and gave us an example of what our relationship should actually look like. You see, God saw that relationships for 4,000 or so years on the face of the earth had been broken, and he wanted to fix that. And so he sent Christ, the Word. He sent Christ, who was with God in the beginning. He sent Christ, who was there in creation. He sent Christ, who in him all things hold together, to step out of heaven, to come and spend a few decades here on the face of the earth, to model for us and to show us how our relationship should actually look. Christ spoke and he taught about what our family and our home lives should actually look like. He taught us about finances. He taught us about every area in our life because he was in creation and it is in him all things hold together. And so if this is the truth, and it's the truth because it's the scripture, then we have to understand that when he stepped out of heaven, then we have to pay attention when we see order turn into chaos in our lives. Because God is a God of order. He is not a God of chaos. So if you remember, just a little bit over a week ago, there was an eclipse. And there were a lot of people saying that, you know, it's the end of the world, an eclipse is coming, and there had been some earthquakes and different things. I just watched some of this bad advice that people were actually given and chuckled. Because for so long now, every time something happens, every time there's a volcano, every time there's an earthquake, every time there's a major storm, every time there's an eclipse, which, by the way, happens every so often, everyone's screaming, it's the end of the world and Jesus is coming. The truth is, Jesus is coming, but the truth also is that no one knows the end of the world except for God himself. I look forward to 2044, and I hope that in 20 years, I'm still here. Because we will be in the path of the eclipse here. One of the things that I think is absolutely amazing is in creation, we see order, not chaos. And one of the amazing things in the order of the universe is the earth is not just spinning out there and the sun is not just doing its own thing, but there is actually order in the way the world circles around the sun. There is order in the way that the other planets circle around the sun. There is order. There is no chaos. And so we can actually look into the future using technology to see where the eclipse is actually going to happen. Well, how is that so? It's because it is in him all things hold together. Well, what does that mean when we look at eclipse and the earth circling around the sun and all the other planets? Well, what it means is there is order and there is structure in those things. And so when we see order and structure, then what we actually know is it is God who's holding all of these things together. And so we have to read through what Paul has said here in Colossians. We have to understand what John is actually saying here. And we have to say, oh yeah, oh yeah. When Jesus stepped out of heaven and he came to spend time on the earth, what he was doing was coming to actually defeat the chaos and defeat the work of an evil enemy to bring into our life his order, his structure, and his power to be a part of his kingdom. And so we see that it is in him or through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Let's keep reading it, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 6, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, that is Jesus Christ, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not out of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Now listen to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What John is saying in verse 14 is Jesus stepped out of heaven. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. The Word stepped out of heaven, and there was a purpose in that. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John said, Jesus is come for you. He was there at the beginning in a perfect creation. He was there at the fall in Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. His heart was broken. And from that moment forward, what God and Christ and the Holy Spirit began to do is put in place a plan for Jesus to be able to step out of heaven to bring his order back into our lives, destroy the works of the enemy, so that we would be able to be free. And the way that he did that is by defeating sin on the cross and the consequence of sin in the empty tomb. And this is the power and the promise for every single one of us, that we would receive God who stepped out of heaven into our lives as our Lord and Savior. What we see in John's writing is John goes on to describe the works of Jesus, focusing primarily on the last week or two of Jesus' life. And we see that John actually then records some I am statements of Jesus. There's seven I am statements. And John goes through each one of those. John takes those words of Jesus and reminds us that it was God who revealed himself to Moses by saying, I am. And in that, John is saying, Jesus is making the statement that he is God. Jesus continues revealing himself in that moment in the way that God had done that even with Moses. John begins to push into a number of miracles that Jesus actually performed. And in these miracles, we see Christ actually revealing himself as God Almighty in the flesh. And then we fast forward. We get towards the end of John's book, and what we actually see is in the writing, John actually lays out the crucifixion and the resurrection as God was being crucified and then would come back to life, defeating sin and death, all of it for you and I. John is saying what he is writing about is unmistakably clear, that Jesus was God and Jesus stepped out of heaven, and the work that he did in doing that was for you and your relationship with God Almighty. There's so much power in what John has written to us that we have to slow down the reading and grasp the words and understand that John is saying Jesus came for you. We have to grasp the words that John are using. And we have to understand that Jesus has always existed. We have to know that Jesus is 100% man, but he is also 100% God. And what we grasp, or what we understand here in the beginning of the book of John, is that this is probably one of the most amazing theological statements in all of Scripture. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Going back to verse 1, remembering that the Word was with God in the beginning, and He was God. And any good speaker needs an amazing opening line. And what an amazing opening line that John has given to us into the account of God coming in the flesh in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. John's not content to start with the genealogy of Jesus. John's not content to start with the birth of Christ. He's not content to even start with the beginning of the launch of the ministry of Jesus Christ. All of those things are important, and they're amazing, and we need those things, and God has given them to us in the Scripture. But John doesn't start there. He goes back to the beginning so that we would fully understand that God is revealing Himself in the flesh, and we grasp that through these verses. John calls Jesus the Word because he saw the words of Jesus as the truth of God. He says here in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And so we see what John is saying about Jesus Christ. And so therefore, the words that Christ actually spoke in the flesh here on the earth were words actually from God Almighty for every single one of us. Jesus said in John chapter 20, John recorded at the end of his book about Jesus these words in John chapter 20, verse 21. But these things, his entire book that he wrote, chapter 1 through 20, he says, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John's intent, all 20 chapters, was for you to have life in Jesus Christ. And so when we take that understanding and come back here to what he's actually writing about, we see the encouragement of Jesus stepping out of heaven to be here on the earth so that we would have life in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we fast forward, and John gives us the details of the crucifixion, the horrible, horrible death that Jesus died. And then he gives us the hope through the resurrection and the empty tomb. John was there, and John recorded it. And he's saying, this was the Word of God, God stepping out of heaven and doing these things so that you can have life. But we have to pause and ask ourselves, what are the implications for our lives to this Word? The Word that is God. What are the implications for our life? What does that actually mean for us? And I want you to grasp what has truly taken place here, not just for John, but for all of us. The encouragement for us, the thing that should propel us in our faith, is that God stepped out of heaven to speak to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. But he came and stepped out of heaven for you. God came for you. And it's in Christ that all things were made. And it's in him that all things are held together. And so my push for you in this, and looking at Christ stepping out of heaven, is that you would surrender those moments of your life, every area of your life, but this morning, surrender those moments of your life where it seems like there is no order and there is only chaos. There is question, there is doubt, and there is fear. God would say to you this morning, I stepped out of heaven for you. And we could actually record John 1, verse 1 and 2 specifically for you. Because he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We could say he made his dwelling among us, and he did it for us. He did it for you. Jesus stepped out of heaven for you. Jesus wants to be your Lord and Savior, and he died for you to make that even possible. What areas of your life have you not surrendered to him? Have you started with surrendering your life to him? Have you started by saying, God, I've tried to do things on my own. I've tried to be a good person. I have tried to live life the best way that I know how. I've tried it, and it just doesn't work. And so because of the sin in my life, I need a Savior. I need you to be my Lord and my Savior. That's where it starts. That's the foundation that you have to build on. Because anything else that you build on is going to crumble and it's going to fall apart. Because it is in Jesus Christ that all things hold together. And if you're trying to have something else hold it together in your life, it's always going to fall apart. If you are trying to hold things together in your life, you're always going to fail. The only one who can hold things together is Jesus Christ. He does it for us, and he stepped out of heaven so that he could do that in your life. God desires and died so that he could be your Savior. But not just your Savior. But he died so that he could lead you and hold things together every day of your life. So what I want to ask you to do this morning is first, just give up. It's that simple. Just give up and surrender to Jesus Christ. And if you will do that work, then what you will begin to see in your life is a world that's absolutely full of chaos. It's not going to change. The enemy is still at work. The enemy is still roaring about. But what you're going to experience in your life is life and order that only comes as God begins to hold things together in your life. John 1:5 says this. We read it earlier. In him was life, that's in Jesus Christ, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness cannot defeat the light that Jesus came to bring into your life. So that's why you have to surrender. Jesus said in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is here this morning. He stepped out of heaven that John recorded here in John chapter 1. But this morning, he has stepped into this place through the work of the Holy Spirit. And he is ready for you to surrender to him. And what better moment to do that than right now.
Thanks for joining us at Whitechapel Church Online. We pray that today's sermon blessed you and that you'll continue to join us as we lean into God's Word together. Until next time, have a great week.